To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. When actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. Well, I'm going to take it line by line, but I'm not going to go through every line. Those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. So the classical teaching about enlightenment is that enlightenment is here and delusion is here. That we start with delusion, let's say, on the left hand, and then we move to enlightenment on the right hand. That's the classical teaching. And that we could call that state-based enlightenment, or consciousness state-based enlightenment. And if you read Three Pillars of Zen, how many of you have seen Three Pillars of Zen? Raise your hands. That really focuses on state-based enlightenment, which is wonderful. Wonderful, no doubt about it. Buddha himself, he talked about his own enlightenment experience. So we can't deny the importance of state-based enlightenment, state of consciousness, state of life. He talked about it. Dogen himself talked about his, a pivotal point in his life when he was 27. So that's one view of enlightenment. But this view that Dogen is giving is a different view of enlightenment. Different view. His view is that completely seeing in our meditation practice, in our practice, in our Zen practice, this is all premised. All this stuff that Dogen writes is premised on the fact that we all do Zen practice. We all have a meditation practice. It's already central to our life. So that's his premise. But that by seeing and embracing whatever delusion comes up in our meditation, in our lives, oh, I completely screwed up this morning. You know, I've done that service 32,000 times, and yet I couldn't remember how to do it this morning, and I'm the leader. If I just see that without trying to get out of it, without justifying to myself, oh, I haven't done this in a while. Oh, I've been sick. But just see it. Just be with it. Not try to get out of it. Not deny it. Not repress it. Not feel guilty about it. Just see it. Then I can experience some freedom. I can experience some freedom. You guys can come in here if you want. At least there's room in here if you'd like. So that's a little bit different view than the classical view. Right? A little bit different. Secondly, those who are greatly deluded about realization are sentient beings. So sentient beings, that is people who are just regular people who aren't really practicing wholeheartedly for Dogen. We get deluded about realization. We think that later on, if we practice for do 32 retreats, sit up straight, and listen to what Tim says, that we can have a state-based enlightenment experience. So we're always striving toward that. And meanwhile, we're maybe dissing ourselves, dissing our friends, dissing our poor body. In Zazen, you can really diss your body. You've got to be careful. A lot of us are in retreat. It's our second day of retreat. And my body is just... Well, I won't talk about my body, but we have to be gentle with it. We have to take care of our bodies. But state-based enlightenment, Buddha himself, geez, look at all the ordeals he went through before he had his enlightenment. Look at all Dogen went through. Finally, Dogen was 27. He'd been practicing for more than 10 years. He had to go to China in different foreign culture, lots and lots of difficulties. But his teaching is different than this. His teaching is, be careful. Be careful. enlightenment's not over there someplace. That state-based enlightenment is okay. But more important is being intimate with this delusion, with this difficulty, in this moment, in this immediate present. So in a way, he completely switches the idea that we have, those of us who've practiced, about enlightenment. Further, there are those who continue realizing beyond realization who are in delusion throughout delusion. So if you continue realizing beyond realization, you're also in delusion throughout delusion. So that's cool for Dogen. That's cool. Because you just go into it. You just go into it. You just shine the light on it without any comment, without any criticism. And then when the criticism comes up, you take that criticism energy and put it back on on shining the light on it. And then you're able to engage with this. Engage, accept, and embrace. You have to engage first. And out of engagement comes acceptance. And out of that comes embracing. All of that, really three things. It's just my words, right? How could there be three things? Further, there are those who continue realizing beyond realization who are in delusion throughout delusion. The chances of embracing the present moment are multiple. It's always there. We always have that chance. Regardless of whether it's good, bad, happy, or sad. And that's our practice. That's Zen practice. And if we do this practice, we feel a little compassion sometimes. We feel a whole bunch of compassion sometimes because we realize how stuck in the mud we are. And we are enlightened by that stuckness. We just see that stuckness, and then other people's stuckness doesn't seem any different. We go, our heart goes out to them. Our heart wants to support them. Because we see it's the same mud. We're all stuck in the same mud. The existential mud. And that's where we have our calmness. That's where we have our dignity. Dignity by just being present as it, with it. No mediator. Oh, later on, after I've practiced for so long, after I've worked through this natural call, and after I've improved my situation at home, finally gotten along with my husband or my wife, or later on, good luck. So Dogen says in another place, enlightenment is ever intimate with and transparent to delusion. Ever intimate with, close, and transparent to. So it's not going from one to the other. We're always going from one to the other, whatever it is. That's the human situation, so get used to it, but it's not true. It is true, but it's not really alive. Not really alive. We kill ourselves by anticipating, projecting over and over and over again. We don't have a life when we do that, do we? Do you have a life when you do that? When you spend all your time just remembering, anticipating, and projecting? How much life do you really have? And yet you have a life. It's right here. Your life. It's right here. Where else could it be? Enlightenment is ever intimate with and transparent to delusion. So whatever difficulty comes up, maybe no difficulty. You don't need to cultivate some difficulty. All you have to do is do this practice and you'll get a difficulty. If you do this practice the way I've been doing it for my whole life, you'll get lots of difficulties. Even if you think you're of sound body and mind, you won't be of sound body and mind. I'm sorry. That's not exactly a good endorsement. I don't know what to say. Not a good marketing strategy for those of you who are just here on Sundays. So the difficulty that comes up, we call the natural koan. We've been talking about that in our practice period. Natural koan, natural difficulty that comes up, and there are just the difficulty of like the pain in my leg, right? That's a difficulty sitting here with this pain. It's a difficulty. Well, I need to take care of this pain. Sometime I'll probably have to sit in a chair. I can't sit in full lotus anymore, but I can still do this without having much pain. But who knows how many more months or years. So I got to take care of this pain. I've got to take care of it. I've got to be intimate with it. I have to be gentle with it. It's the life of the universe, this pain. It's telling me something about my body, about my contingency in this world, about frailty, about fragility. Wow, this pain has a lot to tell me. Wow. But I shouldn't turn it into some religion like I need to feel more of it. No, it's better to be compassionate with it, better to move to a position that doesn't make me a good Zen student or a good Zen teacher. Be careful about trying to be a good Zen student or a good Zen teacher. Be careful. We're always trying to be a good something or other. And instead of just being this, just joining this, whatever it is, just joining it. So a student here came to me the other day and said that her difficulty, her koan was, I had turned into the who am I koan. Well, that's interesting. Well, the who am I koan is the classic koan. Everything, Buddha's search came out of that koan. Who am I? Dogen's search came out of that. I mean, all the literature says there's no self. Well, if there's no self, who am I? Who is this guy, Tim, who has pain in his legs, who's talking right now, who has a wife and two children, and who tries to be a good teacher and a good husband and fails at both continually? Who is this guy? And chats to himself about it, promising he'll do better the next day. Who is this guy? It's a big question. That's the classic Buddhist question. But you don't need that. You can just have a little question, too. It's all the same. And go into it. Look at it. And if you're going to think about it, fine, but focus your thinking. Focus your thinking just on it. Just on the problem. Just on the difficulty. Who is this guy? Who is he? Is he this thought? Is he this feeling? Are these memories? If he's not that, who is he? Go into it. Whatever comes up. Whatever comes up. Maybe you don't have a classic koan. Maybe you just have a pain in your little toe. Well, then look at it. Go into it. That becomes your classic koan, right? Just be with it. Intimate with it. Immediate. It gives you an immediacy. You don't have to worry about that, do you? You can anesthetize yourself and you don't have any immediacy at all. I mean, and in America we have a tendency to do that. Zen is the opposite. We don't anesthetize ourselves. Well, a little anesthetization is fine. don't get too caught in anything I say, please. A little anesthetization is fine. But the real anesthetization is to come close to something. If you come really close, it falls away. And there's just great openness. Just great openness. Just great love. That's all there is. That's all there is. I don't know anything else. But it's not love. It doesn't know love. Just the life. Just this life. So, Hee Jin Kim says, well, the metaphor in it for enlightenment is usually the sun. That's usually the metaphor. The sun enlightens and all the shadows are gone. But Hee Jin Kim says, well, a more apt metaphor for the way Dogen talks about enlightenment is the moon. The moon. Well, that's kind of cool. The moon shining on the shadows. The shadows, the anguishes, the doubts, the confusion that everybody has who practices meditation, and people have who don't practice meditation. So, the moon shining on those. The moon doesn't eradicate them, but the soft glow of the moon encompasses them, feels their contours, feels their depth, feels their spaciousness, and is completely intimate with them. Intimate with them. And we could say that the more our practice, our Zen practice, matures, the more we grow in realization and enlightenment, the more we're sensitive to our own frailties, to our own limitations, and sensitive in a caring way, sensitive in an empathic way to the frailties of ourselves and all those beings around us, because all those beings are in the same situation we are. Do you know any beings who aren't in that situation? When I go home after a retreat, I'll be meeting my wife and my 19-year-old cat, who can barely go upstairs. I'll probably spend more time with her than my wife, because she's really having a hard time. It's not because I don't love my wife, too. It's just my 19-year-old cat is on her last little bit of time. So my wife and I are always huddling. Our kids have been gone a long time, right? And our grandkids are not close. So we're huddling around our 19-year-old cat, petting her, giving her extra liver. Well, she has some. She never used to get fresh fish. Now she gets fresh fish whenever we pick up fresh fish. She eats a little fresh fish. And she tries to get up the stairs to be with us in our bed with her frailty. No different from any of us. No different from any of us. Human nature is thoroughly delusion-ridden. It's thoroughly delusion-ridden. So in a way, Dogen was an existentialist. He was really an existentialist. Lots of Buddhists would say, what? Delusion-ridden? Gyate, gyate. Gone, gone, gone beyond. Delusion-ridden and enlightenment-laden. Enlightenment-laden. Laden. This is our practice. To actualize this enlightenment in this moment, laden. So the story I tell about being with my first teacher, Suzuki Roshi, and I had a big enlightenment experience. State enlightenment, right? State. Remember two kinds of enlightenment? Woo! Big one, huge one. Huger than huge. Everybody. Well, I read Arthur Koestler 2 weeks ago. Wow. Woo! And that's great. That's great. And I also talked 2 weeks ago about how Arthur Koestler was in the later part of his life. And I said he was an asshole because he didn't practice this other type of practice, this type of practice that Dogen's talking about. He thought he was in some sort of nirvanic state in it, and he could just be in that nirvanic state forever, so he ignored his own pain and everybody else's pain. He repressed it, he transcended it, but he didn't really transcend it. Be careful of anybody who's transcended anything. I wouldn't hang out with people who've transcended stuff. I don't believe in it. Keep away from people who've transcended things. There's something phony going on there, you guys. There's something phony going on. And all due respect to transcendental meditation. So, I had my big experience, or a big experience, one of a few big experiences, but a great big one, and it happened, of course, at the appropriate time, which is during Sesshin. I mean, that's, you know, the appropriate time, right? That's everybody think, oh, shit, I'm all this pain, it's the third day, aren't I going to get something out of this? You know? So finally, you know, I had, whoosh. So then I went home to see my mom, and that was the problem. I shouldn't have gone home to see my mom. Don't go home to see your mom after Sesshin. This isn't a criticism of my mom. It's just that it brings my stuff. Well, my mom is dead now, but it brings all my stuff back, all my childhood stuff, right back. Right back. Went home to see my mom. Got back, went back down to the Zen monastery where I was staying. Talked to and I was sort of incredulous. I was having these. I seemed to be more sensitive than before. I had more difficulties than before. More my mother's anguish. I really felt it a way I hadn't felt before. My own not being there for her. I felt that more than I felt before. And I was kind of annoyed, actually. This isn't the way it's supposed to be, right? So I went in to see Suzuki. Rosemary, how many times have you heard me tell this story?
It's always the first time.
Oh. Hey. No, I lost what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. Suzuki Roshi. Yeah, yeah. So I go in to see him and I say, well, da 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 da. You know, da 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 da. I thought, and he had even said, you know, not, he said, you know, you had so-called enlightenment. Of course, he said so-called. So-called. He's careful about the state-based enlightenment. He said so-called, but I forgot the so-called part. So I went, rah, 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 to him. He said, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. I said, but you said, oh, no, 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 I practiced, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yes, oh, yes, yes. He said, yes. He said, I know exactly what you mean, he said. I feel exactly the same way with my practice. I feel that I let people down all the time. And I let myself down all the time. I'm very aware. And he says, as your practice gets more mature, that's very good. It's awful, but it's very good. So that's what he told me. That's what he told me. So here's a poem I haven't shared in a while. Winter evening, snow piling on top of snow, mistake after mistake, continuing practice forever. So back to Dogen. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not necessarily notice that they are Buddhas. However, they are actualized Buddhas who go on actualizing Buddhas. So when we engage, when we accept, when we embrace We don't think that we're any special kind of person. That's extra. Whenever we think we're a special kind of person, good or bad. Lots of people think they're a special kind of person, bad. But we're not engaging. We're not accepting. We're not embracing. And that's all Zen practice is. That's all there is to Zen practice. There ain't anything else. But because our minds are so busy, we have to sit in meditation to get this. You can't get this. Well, maybe a couple people can. Maybe two or three people out of a million can. Well, then you could practice, do something like practice shakuhachi. If you really give yourself, as Leo has, to something like shakuhachi, you can get a taste, just as if you really give yourself to sitting in meditation. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not necessarily notice that they are Buddhas. However, they are actualized Buddhas who go on actualizing Buddhas. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Kind of a tongue twister. So, this practice is about training our hearts. It's about training our hearts in engaging, accepting, and embracing. With no mediator. With no mediator. No mediator. Right? Pat yourself on the head, but no mediator. And when you're mediating, just notice it and come back to immediate. Immediate. Over and over and over again until you've trained your heart. You train your heart this way. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Training your heart is not easy, but it's wonderful. Unlike things and the reflections in the mirror, and unlike the moon and its reflection in the water, when one side is illuminated, the other side is dark. Well, a lot of people struggle over this one. This one is, I don't know why Dogen is so obtuse sometimes, but it works. I mean, because everybody's always reading Dogen in Soto Zen. But actually, he's not being obtuse here. He's not being obtuse. He's just saying, usually we think that there's our reality and then there's our image. Our minds are our image of things. And Tim's just saying, oh, forget the mind. Well, then I'm speaking dualistically. Then I'm saying the mind isn't okay. Then I'm saying the mind is just an image. It's just something separate. But the mind, too, is all reality. It's all reality. So don't divide things up between the reflection and the actual appearance, the actual being. That's a second division. We want to get out of our minds. Well, the way to get out of your minds is not to try, but to go in to this, whatever this is, just to go into it. So this training is the training of not two different realities, not the image, not the reflection, not the delusion, not the enlightenment. They're all here. They're not separate. So we're having a formal sesshin this weekend, and I don't have my formal regalia on because it's a Sunday. But after you guys go, I'll put it back on. Although I don't wear it as much as I'm supposed to. Anyway, a formal sesshin. We have lots of retreats here. We have retreats every month. Half of our retreats are contemporary retreats where we just practice giving ourselves to the moment in our meditation. Giving ourselves to the moment so we can touch something very deep inside that's always there, that's waiting. It's just waiting to be touched. Waiting to be touched. So we have contemporary retreats and then we have formal retreats, sesshins. We're doing one this weekend. In formal retreats, we pay attention really to the form. We have a form in which we bow, in which we eat our meals, in which we do everything. And we're really precise about the form. Some people would say obsessive compulsive about the form. But It's our practice, so that if we learn how to completely do something without thinking and just being part of it. So if we completely give ourselves to the form, we're beginning to get a taste of what it is to embrace and engage, to embrace and engage. Then when we go back to our lives, we can be more just doing that. And then we don't care about the fact that the other side is dark, because we're totally giving ourselves to this experience. So when one side is illuminated, when I'm just eating my meal completely, not thinking about whether I'm doing it the right way or the wrong way, or how much I should eat, or how this food compares with someone else's, or why Marty gave us this instead of this. When I'm just eating my food, that form, everything else is dark. And yet, I'm supporting all life when I do that, because I just am here, and I'm in calmness. So, unlike things and the reflections in the mirror, and unlike the moon and its reflection in the water, when one side is illuminated, the other side is dark. The next three lines are three lines that I've talked about a lot over the years, so I won't talk much about them. To study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by all things, by all life. So let's say Jeff is sitting next to me in retreat. Although I have not had that pleasure yet, but who knows? And let's say he's breathing like a freight train. All right, come on, more. Breathing like a freight train. Here I am, sitting in retreat, trying to get calm, trying to be still. And he's breathing like a fucking freight train. Excuse me. Excuse me. So, and I'm trying to study the self. But study the self in Buddhism is what? It's not study it with our mind. I'm sitting. I'm being with the self. I'm seeing how the self gets itself in trouble. I'm watching it. I'm not criticizing it. I'm compassionately looking at it. And here he's breathing like a freight train. And it's throwing me off. How can I have a calmness? How can I breathe myself? How can I be in the here and now myself when he's breathing like a freight train? Plus, he's disturbing everybody else in the Zendon. So, but that's part of my study. I'm seeing that. Now, my tendency is just want to go tell the teacher. Oh, I'm the teacher. I'll tell her. Teacher, please do something about him.
Something about your mind. Oh.
Tell him he's disturbing everybody. That's studying the self. His breathing agitates me. I'm trying to be calm. I'm agitated by his breathing. So I study that. I look at that. I engage. I accept. And then possibly I even embrace. Is it possible? Is it possible to study the self? Study Buddhism is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. Is it possible to forget it? And then is it possible to be enlightened by his breathing? That's what it says here. To be enlightened by his breathing. It doesn't say that. It says to forget the self is to be actualized by all life. Well, if his breathing isn't alive, what is? Do it again. There's my opportunity to forget the self and be actualized by his breathing. Right? It's the breathing of the Breathing of a 19-year-old cat who's trying to get up the stairs. Can't make it up one, whatever you call it.
Right.
Okay. Wheezing. We wheeze through our lives. And we don't like it when others wheeze. Because we're going to be the hero. Well, the problem is we're the heroes to our own story. That's a problem. And that's Darwinian, so that's okay. But just notice that. Notice that. Of course, sometimes we're the villain to our own story, but that's still a reverse side of the hero. To forget the self is to be actualized by all life. By all life. Do you believe it? It's not hard. Not hard. It sounds impossible, but if you just do it, if you just give yourself to it, it's not hard. When actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the body and minds of others, drop away. Well, this is Dogen's famous quote that the Shobo Genzo, this is his huge, all of these things he's written. He's always putting in body and mind drop away. It's like all over the place. And those of us who studied it know what it originally comes from. It originally comes from his own state of consciousness enlightenment experience. That's what it comes from. It comes from what his teacher said and then his own enlightenment. That was a state-based enlightenment. That's wonderful. Let's not forget that. Let's not diss that. It's just that we kind of have since we're so grabby and so acquisitive, we have it's better to emphasize the other, I think. So that's what it comes from. But when he talks about it, he doesn't talk about it that way. He talks about it as the moon, as if the moon shining on the shadow. One delusion coming up, and you just shine on it, and you just shine on it. And the Dradi and mind drop away. That sounds mystical, but all he meant was that there's a dropping off of the need to be anything other than what we are already. There's a dropping off of all these worries about the mind and the body. It just drops off. And we still have the pain, we still have the this, but it's clear, it's clean. But then he plays with the term, he uses it lots and lots of times, lots of ways. So when actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. So it's interesting that he takes this state-based experience, and then for the rest of his life, he's 27 when he has this enlightenment experience, for the rest of his life, he doesn't talk about it in a state-based way. He talks about it instead in an immediate going into the delusion, immediate going into it, whatever it is, the difficulty. In this moment, and we don't know why he did that. We don't know why he did that. We know that there was a lot of corruption in Japan. That Buddhism was kind of sucked. That people are all kinds of people claiming to be enlightened all over the place, and there were mantras, and there were indulgences like in Christianity, and all kinds of stuff. And maybe he thought, wow. That's not what I really learned. What I really learned was immediate practice. Practice with no media. So I'll tell people about that. I'll show people that. When actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. So no marks, doesn't have any marks. There's not a feeling of, oh, I got it, or, ah, oh, I lost it, meaning, you lost the small self, or, ah, oh, I'm one with everything. It's rather, I'm so lucky and happy to be able to be here with you guys, just to be here with you guys, with you cats and dogs and people and headaches and heartaches. I'm so lucky and happy to have the ability to shine the light of the moon on this. Just to shine the light of the moon on it and experience its contours, the shadow. Experience its resonance, the shadow. Experience its wonder, the shadow. And calmness. And calmness. So that's our practice. That's our practice. Well, let's see, in retreat, usually we don't have questions, but this is also Sunday, so I will take a question or two or a comment or two if somebody has one. And if you don't, that's fine too. Anybody? Hi. Hi, sure.
It seems that what Dolan is doing is taking terms of Buddhism and putting them in a bowl. That's how I envision it, and starting to blend that so they all swirl. But he doesn't only do that. In my mind, by talking about Buddhas and sentient beings, he still creates a box, one for the Buddhas and one for the sentient beings. Or are they in that swirl? I can't tell from the text.
Well, everything is in the swirl. Everything is in the swirl for Dogen, but there is still me and you. And I have a different experience than you. I have a different life than you. I have different karma. So he emphasizes that too. Mm-hmm. He emphasizes that too. But he really wants to point out the swirl part of it to us. Mm-hmm. But without ignoring the fact that I'm me and you're you. That I have my experience in my life and you have yours. Mm-hmm.
But the Buddhas can be in and out, right? And so can the sentient beings.
Sure. Everything's in and out. Everything's continually in and out and up and down and back and forth. Yeah. Well, that's it. You got it. Anything else? Yeah, Jeff.
This was going to be an announcement, but I think it fits better in this discussion here.
Okay.
The myriad things at this point, well, they always include tumult. Right now, the myriad things include lots of tumult in places like Madison and Libya.
Yeah, yep.
So,
yeah.
This was the announcement part. I'm going to be pulling together some kind of discussion group to look into nonviolent theory, nonviolent action. In particular, I think looking at the works of Gene Sharp, who's an American political theorist, whose ideas apparently have inspired many people in the Middle East and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just going to make that announcement, and this is an announcement about a forthcoming announcement.
Uh-huh.
So if you're interested, let me know. And look for further information.
Thank you. That's carrying this practice into the world.
Mm-hmm.
We only sit for the benefit of the world. And that means, that's sort of a truism and it becomes a cliche. So, don't make it a cliche. Do something.